After Bob Dio is engineering and producing the show, giving Ray Allen and Tom Fairbanks a much-deserved day off, Bob on the other side of the glass, where we keep him. No, we don't keep you because you're on the other side of the glass. That's just where the engineering stuff is on this Friday, August the 18th, 2017. Hope the week has gone well for you. Just a program note, we do re-air our Friday edition if you're up early tomorrow. 7 o'clock in the morning, we re-air the program on AM 1030 KVOI. Media Day shout out to our partners, Tucson Weekly, TucsonSentinel.com, Inside Tucson Business, Green Valley News, and Saharita Sun, TucsonLifestyle.com, Southern Arizona News Examiner, and the Three Sonorans, all prominently on their homepages, have a link to the Buckmaster Show. Our Friday Focus interview today, United States Representative Raul Grijalva, a Democrat representing Arizona's 3rd Congressional District. Joining me in studio for our conversation with the Congressman, Tim Steller, columnist for the Arizona Daily Star, who arrived on time today. I can't believe that Tim came in actually a few minutes early, but I did send him a message.
Right, those help.
11:30, Tim, it is time to leave. So thank you, Tim, for coming in.
It also helps that you're telling me it's 11:30 when it's actually 11:15.
Yes, exactly.
Like setting the clock ahead.
Congressman, how are you?
I'm well, thank you.
You remarked that after the president's news conference at Trump Tower that the president had basically the remarks and he had kind of come unhinged. Do you join San Francisco Bay Area Congresswoman Jackie Speier in calling for the president's removal from office under the 25th Amendment, which that has never been invoked before, that constitutional provision? Do you now call on the Congress to act?
I think the culmination of events, the culmination of this president and his and the White House basically being unhinged, and what is going on in this country, kind of displays that there is no path, no leadership. The capacity to lead is not there, and capacity to fully grip not only the history of this nation, but what's the moral imperative that is called upon for this office to extend itself beyond whatever political philosophy or feelings one might have. It's not there, and we saw that in Charlottesville, and we saw it with the back and forth in terms of him trying to defend what the hate groups brought to that city, violence and a death, and to try to justify it as if they do it, making a moral equivalency argument for the protesters that were there, then what's wrong? And now his visit to Phoenix, where undoubtedly he's going to pardon Arpaio and add another layer to that division in this country, and saying that the rule of law and a conviction to Sheriff Arpaio, that the rule of law bends in a different direction and that it's okay that the conviction based on racial profiling, selective prosecution and persecution of communities, Latino primarily and immigrant, that's okay. I think you begin to pile that on. You begin to understand that we have facing us some very serious issues of war and peace, some serious issues in terms of the budget, in terms of all the things that have been talked about, and not one legislative movement on the part of not only the president but Congress. So, yeah, I think Jackie, to raise the issue, and I applaud her for that.
You join her,
and I'll be glad to join her, because I think it is a way for the American people to continue to keep focus on this presidency, and there's also discussions of a censure vote in the House of Representatives as well for the actions and the comments at Charlottesville, and for the comments to follow pretty soon here in Phoenix. So I think this is the one branch of the legislative branch of government standing up and asserting its place in the governance of this country, and I think it's a necessary move. It's never been effectuated in the past, but I think we're living, we are in the middle of some extraordinary times, and in the middle of what I believe is a presidency that has no rudder and basically is showing the lack of leadership and lack of capacity to understand how to lead that I think jeopardizes this this country. And it's Senator Corker, a Republican, said yesterday, we're creating perilous times.
All right. Here is Tim Steller.
Could you return to your explanation of why you would support that? That is, okay, so I understand that you oppose and I think is wrong what he said about Charlottesville. In what way does that rise to the level of a 25th Amendment from office?
I also said, Tim, that this is a this is a cumulative effect we're talking about here with this president. This is, you know, Charlottesville being the most poignant and painful one, no doubt about that. But also we need to go back. We need to go and the half-truths of not outright lies, the singling out of individuals, the disarray in his own office, the fact that we are plagued with one investigation and one scandal after another, the conflicts of interest that are rampant with the people that he's brought into the administration, and on a personal level, the lack of capacity to lead. I mean, the moment there after Charlottesville, there was a moment where the moral compass rises, that office and what it represents rises. You know, I didn't support George Bush, but after 9/11, he rose to a level where he tried to bring this nation together and say this is an attack by terrorists. Let's not make it into a religious issue with Muslims. That took a lot of guts. After the bombing of the church, Obama's comments after that were poignant and necessary. And so that's one poignant and very specific example. But there's accumulation of issues that I just think bring into question this man's ability on a personal level to lead and to be unhinged and to have this kind of power and control over the direction of a nation and issues as important as war and peace. I think that the exercise of attempting the 25th Amendment is an exercise we're taking because I think it continues to focus on the incapacities of this administration.
Is there any support, you know, beyond a handful of Democrats for this kind of move?
Well, I think it's gross. And I think certainly now, much more than there was before. And two, that this is, as the weeks continue to go by, I think Jackie's efforts and those of us who join her are going to increase because more and more members of Congress are going to come to the realization that regardless of party affiliation, that the discussion and the discourse and the debate is going nowhere, that mm-hmm. we are basically tethering based on whatever action, comment, tweet the President of the United States makes. And there's no governance going on. There's no legislation being done. And we face some critical decision-making in which there has been no leadership. And if the legislative branch asserts itself, I think it's at the very minimum, that would be significant.
A reaction to Steve Bannon being out. Mr. Bannon has been...
Well, I'm glad he is, but I don't think that completely lances the boil. I think that we have, there's some more fundamental issues with this White House beyond Bannon. Bannon was brought in the alt-left, brought in the nationalist sense of to this administration. I don't think that's going to go away. For a long time, there was a feeling that Bannon was the one pulling the strings in terms of, you know, the divides that were being promoted by the White House, racially and otherwise. And I am convinced that many of these decisions and comments and directions that are being taken by the White House are also the full responsibility and decision of the president himself. So Bannon leaving is welcomed, but I think the issues that surround this White House don't go away with him either.
What about Phoenix? Are you worried about violence?
That's been the whole effort. There's been various conference calls of people that are going to be involved, and the theme and the effort is going to be primarily in a personal purpose, discipline, and nonviolence and peaceful demonstrations. None of us that are involved in this want to feed the narrative of the moral equivalency that Trump took to an extreme the other day. Are we going to be able to control everything in terms of the people there to in opposition? I hope so. Yeah, but, you know, that's been the effort all along, and that's been the commitment that most of the organizations and the individuals that are helping put this together have made to themselves and have tried over and over again to make sure it's clear publicly as well.
All right, let's take our break right here. 12:15 on the Buckmaster Show. Congressman Raul Grijalva will stick around for another segment, 790-2040. If you'd like to join us on the live line, Tim Steller is here. In case you're just tuning in, Congressman Grijalva, at the beginning of our interview today, calling for President Trump's removal from office under the 25th Amendment, joining with Congresswoman Jackie Speier from the San Francisco Bay Area. Congresswoman Speier was the first to make this call. I believe that call from her was made yesterday or the day before. But anyway, that's the news breaking right here on the Buckmaster Show. There's more right after this.
The Arizona Wildcats kick off the 2017 football season on September 2nd with Fan Appreciation Night and an exclusive bobblehead giveaway of NFL superstar Rob Gronkowski. There are several ticket packages, including one that guarantees you your own Gronk bobblehead. Go to ArizonaWildcats.com/FB to buy your tickets now and learn more, or call 621-CATS. Single game tickets start at just $12.
The Twisted Tandoor, the legendary Indian food truck, now has a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu expands on the popular Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, it's at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive and on the web at thetwistedtandoor.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With six airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Monday at noon, the Monday Political Face-Off features commentators Jeff Rogers and Jim Kelly, plus a preview of the Wildcat football season. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI. We've got our worldwide live listening podcasts and pretty much 6.5 years worth of programs at buckmastershow.com. It is the Buckmaster Show. Tim Steller is joining me here. Tim is columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. Congressman Raul Grijalva is with us at the beginning of the interview. The congressman is joining, announced that he has joined with Congresswoman Jackie Speier of the San Francisco Bay Area in urging an invocation of the 25th Amendment, which has never been invoked. It states the vice president and the majority of the cabinet can temporarily remove the president from office by declaring him or her unable to discharge the powers and duties of his office in a letter to Congress. The vice president would then become the acting president. Tim, you want to pick up on this?
Yeah, I was just saying in the break that while I see, I can imagine a handful of Democrats in the House and maybe some other people supporting this, it's hard for me to see how this catches on outside of that small group. Do you see any
I think the insider's discussion about Trump and his ability to carry out both the powers and duties of this office is not an insider's discussion anymore. It's a general point of discussion with the public in general. And as such, you know, this demand for invoking the 25th, putting the cabinet in on the spot, I think is an important means to keep the discussion about how to write this ship of state in a constitutional framework and within that legislative framework. Going outside that framework is then it's a whole different kind of a not even a discussion. And so will there be momentum behind it? I think there will be. Will this be the solution in the end for what many of us see as unhinged and incapacitated administration? I don't know, but it is a constitutional means that's available, and it's been there. It's never been invoked, and allowing that process and asking of that process for people to support it, I don't think is way out of the realm of is not a far-fetched reaction to what's going on presently with Trump and his administration.
And what about the Sheriff Arpaio pardon that is apparently just imminent?
Yeah, that is, you know, for Arizona and for the nation. I mean, you know, Arpaio became kind of like almost a icon quality to the alt-right and to many of the groups that were marching in Virginia, and he got elevated to that, built his reputation on what the court found to be racially discriminatory, not protecting constitutional rights, profiling, misuse of funds. The list goes on, and to now remove the conviction, and we don't know what the sentence is yet, but remove the conviction, I think, kind of, in some way, in a very direct way, Trump would be validating that behavior, that breaking of the law, that subverting of constitutional rights is okay. Because if we agree with you doing that because we ideologically or politically agree with you, then it's okay. That's not the rule of law. And that's what scares me about that decision. And it is, you know, Banyan walks out the door 1 minute and Arpaio gets anointed with a pardon the next minute, trying to keep that base happy. I think that's also a political motivation behind pardoning of Arpaio.
I'm going to go to the live line. Doug Martin has called the radio station. Mr. Martin is the owner of Good News Communications. The portfolio includes this radio station, KVOI. Doug, you're with Congressman Grijalva. Go ahead.
Well, Congressman, I appreciate you being on the air with us. And did have a question about this because there's many of us, probably on the Republican side, that would like to see Mike Pence as the president. So if you invoke the 25th Amendment and we end up with Mike Pence, wouldn't that be advantageous to the Republicans, getting somebody in that's a lot more solid and sensible?
It would be advantageous to the Republicans, but I think that that at this point, you know, you deal with the consequence. I think it's important, Doug. And by the way, I do want to extend my sincere appreciation and of the column that you wrote in the Star. I thought it was thoughtful, and it was the references you made to in it were spoke to a lot of people that maybe sometimes don't jump into the political fights that, as I do. And I thought that was a very thoughtful piece of writing, and thank you for that, because it brought perspective that I think all of us should consider as we deal with this issue. But yeah, we might make the Republican Party stronger, but the fact that remains that we are now dealing with a situation now that requires that irrespective of who gets a political advantage, right now it's the collective advantage of the American people that we have to worry about. And that collective advantage, to me, is fulfilled and satisfied to a great extent by the removal of Trump. The political consequences of Pence being the Republican head at that point, then that it goes back to, you know, the voters of this country, 218, 220, to make those kinds of profound decisions about where they want to go and what directions they want to go. I don't see, I quite frankly, even though, you know, I differ greatly, I'd rather have the kind of debate and with a conservative than to try to figure out where this administration is coming from, since they the only ideology I've been able to notice with Trump is the ideology of self-preservation and self-promotion. And after that, we should have the full-throated debate that we need to have about the future of healthcare in this country, infrastructure, the budget, tax reform, and appreciate the American people weighing in on that as well. So, is there an advantage for the Republicans? Probably, but I still think that those long-term decisions are going to be made in 218 and 220.
I'm going to change subjects real quick here. I think when people think of you, especially conservatives or Republicans, they think of your call for a boycott of Arizona after SB 1070 was passed. And they would call you infamous for that. Is that something that, when you look back on it, was that a mistake, or was that something that was appropriate at the time?
Well, it was something that I said and owned. And it was something in the heat of that legislation that the Supreme Court struck down about 80% of it. And it gave rise to the Pierces and Arpaios and the state economically in other ways is just beginning to recover from that epoch. And so at the time, much was said about me going against my own state in terms of an economic boycott of the state. At the end of the day, after the case was reviewed, after what we've been through in the last decade and a half since, I still think that what I did was maybe intemperate to some people, but on a level of and not politically wise in terms of electoral politics, but I'm not, my regrets for doing that are how I did it, not that I did it.
All right, 12:30 here. I'm just going to keep it another minute or so with the congressman, then he has to take off. What about this effort to some of these monuments, the national monuments since 1990 have been under review, a lot of them here in the West. Is that going anywhere, Congressman?
Well, the report was supposed
not the monuments we're talking about that have been in the news.
The national monuments.
Thank you.
National
not to be confused
antiquity,
with
exactly.
Civil War monuments. Yeah. We're talking about the national monuments.
We have four that are still under review in Arizona, including mm-hmm. here in our backyard, the Arrowwood National Forest Monument. Zinke has not presented or has presented, but there hasn't been a public declaration about what his recommendations are to the president. I anticipate that because of the intense pressure from the Utah delegation that Bears Ears, which is going to be the focal point of the fight, both legal and political, that there'll be changes there and maybe perhaps in others. But the whole exercise is unnecessary. The whole effort is unnecessary. Republican and Democratic presidents have been using the Antiquities Act effectively even since Teddy Roosevelt, a Republican. And the issue is, I think, is to open up those public lands in such a way that they become primary commodities for extraction, gas, oil mining, and at the expense of conservation and preservation of those areas. That's going to be the fight. I think it's going to be end up litigated any chance. And I think that the Trump administration and Secretary Zinke are on weak grounds saying that they can undo a previous president's decision on the Antiquities Act, that you can go back 10 years to Clinton and undo something, or to Obama and undo something. I think that's the strongest leg we have, and public opinion is entirely in favor of maintaining the monuments the way they are across the country.
All right, before we go, are you calling on everyone to be, if that's coming up to Phoenix, to be peaceful, because anything other than being peaceful plays into the hands of folks perhaps that are against your message?
Yeah, to come to Phoenix and come with the attitude there that you are there to demonstrate not only to yourselves and to Arizona, but to the nation that the rhetoric and the ideology and the hatred that we've seen is not Arizona. And we're also there to give the kind of protest that was encouraged by Cesar Chavez and Martin Luther King. Purposeful, peaceful, and nonviolent. Uh-huh. And, you know, people that can't go, I think their involvement is still needed. And there's so many ways to participate and weigh in as we try to maybe steer our nation in the right way, that not attending doesn't mean that people cannot be involved.
All right. Congressman Raul Grijalva, earlier on the program, joining with Congresswoman Jackie Speier of California, calling for President Trump's removal from office under the 25th Amendment. There's more on this and dialogue going on right now. Our Facebook page has pretty much exploded over this, so there's plenty of time for folks to join in with your comments on that at Bill Buckmaster, our Facebook page, and Tim Steller also welcomes people to comment, right, Tim?
Yeah.
There you go. There'll be a lot of talk of the Congressman, thank you very much.
I'm sure I'll hear about it on my
All right, we'll be right back. Jim Nintzel, the Weekly's on the live line. He's going to join us right after this.
Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant, named after the classic New Orleans cocktail. Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktail Parlor is located in St. Philip's Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you soon at Sazerac, open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Philip's Plaza. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects helping make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient, and improve mobility leads to a better economy and new jobs through the increased flow of people, goods, and services. More efficient access gets us to where we want to go faster, and that means more time for family. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from top national columnists, plus Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
What comes to mind when you envision the holidays? If it means surrounding yourself with family and friends as you welcome treasured traditions, just imagine if those moments were paired with sinking your toes in fine white sand and exploring quaint seaside towns. This winter, spend your holiday with a sense of adventure on a family reunion vacation. At Bon Voyage, we specialize in bringing generations together through travel. This is the perfect time to plan. Call Bon Voyage Travel at 797-1110.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We went a little long with Congressman Grijalva today because he had some news here on the program. Tim Steller is here from the Arizona Daily Star, the award-winning columnist, and the award-winning Jim Nitzel from the Tucson Weekly, editor of the Weekly, is on the live line. Jim, how are you?
Oh, I'm 5x5. Bill, how are you?
Doing well. You heard we had a little news here on the program. What do you think of Congressman calling for Trump's removal from office under the 25th Amendment?
Was that the first time he'd done it?
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Yeah, you were sort of shocked to hear he hadn't done that.
Yeah.
I don't see it happening. But we live in a world where a lot of things have happened in the last 6 months that I don't see happening, didn't see happening. So one never knows, but I think it would be quite the stretch for the members of the administration to step forward in such a way.
Yeah, the one thing that strikes me, as Doug Martin brought up, is that, you know, you have Mike Pence in waiting, and he's totally satisfactory to the majority of the people who make these decisions. So while I agree that it's not likely in any respect, I also think that there is that allows it to be a real possibility of a small one.
I mean, if you look at it, Trump is still immensely popular with the base of the Republican Party. And I think that's the one thing that's definitely keeping him protected from impeachment, because Republicans understand that if they were to do something, they would alienate their own base.
Yep.
And it's a situation they're sort of bound by at this point.
Jim, I want to bring up the Mr. Trump is President Trump is coming, of course, Tuesday. He's expected to pardon Joe Arpaio, and I don't believe Arpaio's even been sentenced yet. Has he? Has he, Tim?
No, he's been convicted, but not sentenced.
So yeah. this would be what? Okay, the sentence. I will pardon whatever the sentence is, I guess.
Well, I mean, as I understand it, a pardon wipes away the conviction and the sentence.
Oh, okay.
I mean,
so they don't need to go through.
Yeah, you just don't go through with anything, I was just looking back. Some of the columnists up in Phoenix have surprisingly also been the liberal columnists calling not even for a pardon and certainly for not convicting Arpaio in the first place. E.J. Montini, Lori Roberts, they both refer to it as a sort of, if I'm not mistaken, a political prosecution.
Jim, what do you think?
Well, I think the judges involved were not particularly political. I mean, they were Republican judges, I think one recommended by John Kyle, the other appointed by George W. Bush. I think that clearly Joe Arpaio, in the opinion of these judges, violated a court order. And so, I mean, they were the ones who found him guilty of that. And so I don't see how it was political in nature other than the essence of being a elected official.
Yeah, and I think on a kind of counterpoint there is that, of course, there's the rule of law argument that Grijalva made, and if there is a pardon at this time, that both the timing and the act of the pardon of this former sheriff, I think, would enrage much of the Latino community and many people on the political left. Because of what Arpaio has meant down through the years, and because of the context we find ourselves in with the Charlottesville doings and Trump's reaction.
And President...
I don't know how much more enraged they can become, you know, just with the situation with Trump alone.
Yeah.
And so I don't know that Trump risks much in that situation.
I agree.
Okay, turning it to Arizona as far as politically in the race for who will face off against whoever the Democrats are going to put up against Senator Jeff Flake, does this help Kelly Ward if indeed President Trump endorses her? And we still don't know if he's coming to endorse Kelly Ward, who, by the way, will be on my program that Tuesday, next Tuesday. And the announcement, I guess, will be at 7 o'clock that evening. So she could he could endorse Treasurer Jeff DeWitt.
Yep. And Robert Graham is kind of back in the shadows, hoping for a nod, maybe. We don't even know if this is going to be useful come next year. I mean, we know there is a Kelly Ward faction in the Republican Party, and they will vote for probably whoever runs against Jeff Flake in the primary. But, I mean, if, you know, we got it, we don't know. The politics are so uncertain. Trump's endorsement could be as good as a kiss of death by the time the primary comes around. So I don't see it as necessarily too useful, although it could anoint a front runner in the challenge Flake situation.
Mr. Nintzel?
Well, I think Flake has some serious problems on his right flank. you know, I think he's got to worry about, I'd certainly heard, I'm sure Tim has heard, Bill, I'm sure you've heard Republicans complaining about Jeff Flake and how he's way too lib. I don't know that his voting record really reflects that, but there is a purity thing going on in the Republican Party these days, and so a few votes that folks dislike on immigration or whatnot can really have people turning on you. And you know, I think Tim had a really good column a couple weeks ago talking about Jeff Flake, where he, you know, pointed out that, you know, for all of Flake's concerns in his recent book, he's certainly gone along with much of the Trump agenda without standing up against, you know, just even the way that health care bill was put together. So, you know, I think Flake is definitely vulnerable in a primary next year, probably more vulnerable in a primary than he is in a general election.
Yep.
As far as District 1 Pima County Supervisor Ally Miller, Republican, her too proud comment, just like Donald Trump, Supervisor Miller has a very loyal base in District 1. Is this going to, in the long run, Jim Nintzel, do you think will have any impact on her political future?
I do not. I mean, you know, I think Ally has, over the course of her political career, done much worse things than that Facebook posting. I think it has caught fire, unlike some of the other things that she has done over the course of her political career. But I think she's been kind of nutty from the start, and I don't see that changing.
Yeah, okay. I totally agree. I mean, I found her comment, both her comment and her justification for her comments to be just absurd in the extreme. It really, in my mind, showed what was boiling inside her when what emerged from the Charlottesville events of Saturday. And let's remember, she posted this thing about being proud to be white and sick of people hitting her for being white. She posted it after this neo-Nazi had driven into the crowd and killed one person. So that's what was so striking about it to me. Like, that's what you take out of this?
And people called you out then on Facebook, as I recall, and they asked you to define, are you proud of being white?
Oh, I don't think anyone called me out on that, but yeah.
But you said what
it
was.
As I said.
And I believe your quote was, I'm not proud to be white, nor am I ashamed of it. Is that correct?
Totally, yeah. I mean, it's not anything I did. I was born where I was and how I was for reasons completely unrelated to me. But I'd return to the point that what's disturbing is not that, even the words were a little disturbing, but it was also that's what the reaction was. It really showed a mindset to me. And she later said, defended it as being a criticism on her part of identity politics. Mm-hmm. That just doesn't make any sense to me, because it is what, attacking identity politics with identity politics?
And Steve Christie's reaction that this would give basically fodder to Ally's critics.
Correct.
And
yeah.
You wonder, and Jim, as I asked you just a moment ago, will this impact? I'm sure that it's not in the long run going to really bother the Ally base that much. But what about Steve Christie's comment?
I think that probably helps him in the sense that people are deeply suspicious that Steve Christie, like you and me and Tim, are members of the deep state, and that he is actually secretly in the pocket of Chuck Huckleberry, just as the rest of us are. And Chuck, of course, is the leader of the deep state in Southern Arizona. I think that he needs to continue with this sort of sucking up to Ally and her crew in order to ward off primary challenges. But I have to say, I think he is accurate in that this certainly did give Ally's critics a reason to denounce her. But I think that denouncement was entirely justified, and at least he unlike Ali, came out and actually condemned Nazis, which really shouldn't be that hard in this country in 2017. And yet a remarkable number of people seem to be having trouble saying that Nazis are not good people.
So I called Steve Christie about this yesterday, and he did make a good point. So I wrote today about mm-hmm. the comparison between the reactions to Ali Miller's Facebook post and the one by a communications office staffer named Jason Ground, which was in a private Facebook page saying that encouraging people to shove Ali Miller's words down her throat. This is in regard to the gay conversion therapy proposal, the proposal to ban it. And Steve pointed out fairly, I thought, that Democrats responded heavily, the Democrats on the board, to Ali Miller's comments, but said nothing about Jason Ground's comments.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was fair. While, on the other hand, Steve Christie reacted very strongly to Jason Ground's comments and defensively to Ali Miller's comments.
Jim, final word. I got to run.
Well, certainly Jason's comments were inappropriate for a county employee and kind of a dumb move on his part, without a doubt. I would also, I guess that gave ammunition to Ali's supporters to pounce and denounce, etc. But I guess that's where I'll leave it.
Okay. How about your TV show?
Got some new episodes coming up in about 2 weeks, and I think we're rerunning our Ward 3 debate between the three candidates this weekend and next week.
All right, good.
You guys both. You had your
I reran mine on. I don't know. I've lost track of time here. Wednesday. It's been a crazy week, but interesting. You guys care to make a quick prediction in Ward 3 on the Democratic side, Jim? Quick.
I think it's down to between Felicia and Paul, and I think Felicia may have the inside track as a woman against two white males in a. Mm-hmm. low turnout primary.
Okay.
Yeah. One of these things is not like the other, and yeah, she stands out more, and they look not just look but sound a little more alike than she does.
All right. Tim Steller, thank you. We'll look for your column, which is in a work in progress at this point, for Sundays.
I'm just keeping it secret.
I know you are. All right. Jim, thanks a lot, Mr. Nintzel.
Always a pleasure, you guys.
Take care.
Nintzel, the editor of the Tucson Weekly. Tim Steller will look for his work in the Sunday Star.
Good luck finding it. I hope there is something there to find.
Might not be
Hi, this is Jeff with Enhance Openings, Windows, Doors, and More. Did you know windows, doors, and skylights are about 30% of all the wall and ceiling areas of your home, but waste up to 80% of all your home's utility bills? Enhance Openings is Tucson's Pella Select wholesale installation company. We'll save you money on Pella products and on installation.
Text the word Pella to 313131 and get free installation. Or call 686-5617, ROC CR6030-5859, enhanceopenings.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority is on track to deliver the remainder of the promised projects in the 20-year plan, now in its 11th year. A recent 10-year performance audit finds the RTA sticking to the plan and schedule. The RTA applauds our members and partners for helping us to stay on schedule and to improve our transportation network for everyone. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
What do you say we do the weekend? I need a weekend in the worst way. And if you're thinking about a great place to go away for the weekend, how about a road trip 3 hours east of Tucson, Silver City? Great place just to kick back, visit southwestnewmexico.org. They've got the full listing of the many recreation opportunities and great places to stay in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, which is the fine sponsor of the Weekend Watch, brought to us by Silver City and presented by a dedicated foodie himself, Inside Tucson Business food and beverage columnist, award-winning publicist, Mr. Matt Russell. Hey, Matt.
Hey, how are you? Happy Friday.
Same to you. What's this? What is this I am hearing about a drunken chicken? Please tell me.
You can't make this stuff up, Bill. Another new restaurant has opened its doors again, the Drunken Chicken on 4th Avenue.
What?
A place where craft beer, big waffles, and fried chicken all come together to satisfy your cravings for comfort food. You know, this sweet and savory combination of chicken and waffles is all the rage these days. These guys have taken it up a notch with a spectrum of infused syrups and fun dipping sauces. It's the Drunken Chicken, open now on 4th Avenue.
Do you have anything about bacon in this week's Weekend Watch?
I couldn't let a weekend slip by without mentioning pork fat somehow. And there will be a veritable bacon bonanza tomorrow at Brother John's on Stone as members of the Tucson Originals Restaurants proudly present Bacon Blues and Brews. For only $20, you'll be treated to unlimited small bites of creative bacon dishes from local restaurants, beer samples, live music, and you can taste them all. Vote for your favorite bacon bite. So I say start fasting now, and we'll see you tomorrow at Bacon Blues and Brews.
Please don't forget the burger people.
Seriously, there are still some special summer savings to take advantage of at local restaurants. And my pick this week is Trueland Burgers and Greens up on Oracle near Ina. They've got a $7 lunch special that'll get you their classic smashed double patty burger with their famous True sauce. That's every day from 11 to 4. And from Sunday through Thursday, it's half off all beer, wine, and cocktails all day long. You got to go over there. Say hello to my friend, Chef Ryan Jones, to see how burgers are done this weekend at Trueland.
What cuisine are you sampling in Inside Tucson Business this
week? Well, my recent introduction to Venezuelan cuisine actually made me stand up and dance, Bill. It's a true story, and you can read about this dance-worthy dish in this week's edition of Inside Tucson Business.
Got it, my friend. Have a great weekend.
Cheers, Bill.
Participate in the unregulated free market governed only by common courtesy and common sense by buying, selling, and trading anything lawful and moral on Swap Shop Sunday morning, 10 a.m., right before Liberty Watch on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. The Bill Buckmaster Program is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for the content of our program. So many people to thank that make this program possible, including Rosemary Brandt, my assistant, making sure all the podcasts go up in a very timely manner. Bob Dio, thank you, Bob. Did a great job today engineering, producing the show. Ray Allen, of course, Tom Fairbanks. And why don't I just quickly running out of time, so say thank you to the people here at KVOI, all of them that make this such a great home for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of Bob, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great weekend.